pray about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in God's Word in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 1 through 20, all of Matthew chapter 28. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for your word, which empowers our prayer life, that guides us in knowing how to pray faithfully and effectively and according to your work and your will. And thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear of the prayers of your children. Father, set us on fire afresh today with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that you've called every believer to be involved in the wonderful work of the Great Commission, the carrying of the gospel to the world, and helping believers, once they're saved, to begin to grow up and grow in their faith. Help us to be faithful disciples, and help us to be faithful to be making disciples as well. And thank you for the privilege of being able to cooperate with you, to be co-workers with you in the vineyard of the kingdom of God, to help bring people, help to draw them off the road to destruction, to the road to eternal life. Thank you for Jesus and the salvation he has brought to us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're so thankful that we can approach your throne today, and we recognize it's because of being clothed in the righteousness of your Son. Father, we think of the persecuted church. We think of our, with a spotlight on the Olympics, Father, we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ in China who are under such persecution. Father, we pray you'll strengthen them, that you would be near to them today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are blessed and honored to have with us once again in studio Jade Holyfield. Jade,
hello.
Good to have you with us. It's been a while, but
thank
good
you.
To have you
it
back.
It has been a while. Yeah, probably since last year. I haven't seen y'all since last year.
That's right. That's
Does
right.
anybody still say that joke? My dad says that joke often. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Good to be here. And of course, you heard the gang sounding off. They were glad to hear you, to have you back as
I
well.
I forgot all of their names. I'm sorry. But hey, guys.
Well, you can just say Pete and the gang.
Pete and the gang.
But good to have you with us today. And today, Jade, I appreciate you being with us. We're looking at the topic of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is one of those topics that it's such an important topic, whether we fully grasp it or not. Because, you know, I think of this, Jade, this is so true that people, you know, every day we live life with its challenges and the things that are going on, but people are used to just living their life pretty much the way they live it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reality is that death has a sobering way of bringing us back to the reality is that all of us will face eternity somewhere, either with Christ, with God, and eternal life in heaven, or the sad reality of the place we call hell.
Right.
Both of them are very real, and it's important for us to understand all of us are eternal beings. We all will live for eternity.
Right.
But the question is, where will we be?
Where will we be?
So the Great Commission is the command God gives us for us to be involved with the work of helping people to come to know Christ mm-hmm. so that they can spend eternity with the Lord in heaven as well.
Right, right. I love that. Last year, I know many people with COVID and things, and not just COVID, just different illnesses are going on, and people mm-hmm. have lost loved ones. I mean, November and December, I lost two aunts back to back, my mom's sisters. And so I think that as believers, like you just, you know, mention about our eternal state mm-hmm. and how we, I feel like, if anything, people should be thinking more about where they're going to end up eternally for all eternity, mm-hmm. but also asking the Lord to cultivate in your heart a desire to share the gospel with others. Like mm-hmm. my husband's about to be having to go to California. He had his grandmother to pass away. And one thing I said to him, I said, ask the Lord to use you to share the gospel because everyone in his family isn't saved. So we have to really be proactive and hold others accountable and remind them, hey, go share the gospel. And Pastor Parker, you do a great job of that. Have you been reading your Bible lately? Have you been, you know, here's some gospel tracks, you know, encouraging fellow believers to go out there and share the gospel and make disciples.
And you know, Jay, that's so important for us as believers to understand that it's to be a priority. You know, scripture tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of heaven mm-hmm. and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, it's important for us to remember, these are not suggestions from God.
Right.
These are commands. We're right. all commanded to be involved in the work of making disciples. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we're to be disciples and we're to make disciples as a lifestyle. That's
Amen.
What we're all called to do. But also, you know, I think of, for example, in the book of Romans chapter 12,
okay.
it reminds us of the importance of us living not just faithfully for the Lord, but sacrificially as well. You know, that
Ooh.
Sacrifice for many people, whether they realize it consciously or not, it's a bad word. It's people don't want to hear, you know, because people like to do things that are comfortable, that make them feel good, that are easy to do.
We all
But, you know, nobody showed us better what it means to live a life of sacrifice than Christ himself.
Than Jesus himself.
He gave his all, and he calls us to do the same. So
I'm so sorry. Well, if I can just hit on that. And
okay.
So it's what you just said, living as a believer, we are to live sacrificially,
exactly.
which is completely contrary to this agenda that people are teaching. Follow your dreams. Go after your passions. Anytime I hear that, I cringe because I think to myself, did God tell them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So, because our life, when I said I'm following Christ,
mm-hmm.
I immediately said, I am dying to myself and my desires and aiming to live for him.
Mm-hmm.
So Romans 12, hit it, Pastor Parker.
Chapter 12, starting at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verses 1 through 5 of Romans chapter 12. But again, a reminder that we're called to live a life of being a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Old Testament, when a sacrificial lamb or animal was killed, obviously they're dead, you know.
Right.
But God is calling us to be living sacrifices. In other words, living as if we're dead, except we're just to be dead to our own desires and thoughts and to be fully alive to what God calls us to.
And that can be hard. And that's where you have to ask the Lord, help me to love you more. I was sharing with you, Pastor Parker, you know, the other day I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is coming more alive to me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not keep any record of wrong. I've heard that ever since I was a child. Until God put me in a position where I had to love someone who was not being, who was not lovable at all. So this sacrificial living that you're speaking of, man, like seriously, it is dying to yourself. How much do you love God? And another thing that I'll do sometimes, I'll go to the Gospels the night before when it was leading up to Jesus being crucified, and I'll read. I recently started doing this, rather. I'll read on how they slapped him and how they spit on him, and it literally breaks me. And I'll ponder over those verses, and it motivates me. I can't help but to live for Christ. Look what he did for me. So living a sacrificial life, that is true Christianity. It's not just living your best life now, trying to aim for all this fame and climbing up the ladder. No, sometimes it means you being at the lowest of the low, but God is right there with you. He said that his strength is made perfect in my weakness.
Don't
get me started.
Dying to self. And that's such a critical reality, because again, it's important to understand the world we live in teaches us to think so differently from that.
It does.
Teaches us to be self-centered. It teaches us to be just keep our eyes, our focus on ourselves. Yet the reality is, you know, I think of, for example, in the parable of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10, it lays out that a man has been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. He was beat up by thieves he ran into on the road. And, you know, time and time again, life will grab people, beat them up, and leave them half dead on the side of the road. Well, three people that were supposed to be representing the Church of Jesus Christ came along. The priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. Well, the priest sees him, and the scripture says he sees him, and he passes by on the other side. Maybe he was late for work. Maybe he had to hurry up and go preach or do Sunday school, but he doesn't say. But he kept going. Then here comes the Levite. He, too, is a quote-unquote church official, but for whatever reason, he doesn't stop either. Maybe he was on the same program as the priest and didn't want to be late, too. Doesn't say. But the Samaritan, who was apparently on his way somewhere as well, but he saw the man and his compassion and love gear kicked in. And he stopped and he helped the man sacrificially. Stopped, helped nurse him, nurse his wounds, bandaged him up, helped him on his animal, took him to a place, paid money, and was going to pay more money for the man to have time to heal. And Jesus clearly says, of those three people, go and do likewise as the Good Samaritan did. Sacrificially love the people in this world. That's what we're all called to do.
Amen. And it's going to take you asking the Lord by the power of his Spirit to help you get there, to love Christ. Someone told me recently, how is it, actually this individual said, I don't think we'll ever reach to love people the way Christ loved us. I said, that's a lie, because we are made in his image and after his likeness. And when I came to Christ, he is consistently, what does it say in the scripture? I move from glory to glory in Christ Jesus. It is possible to love like Christ. It's going to take a work of the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts.
By the Holy Ghost.
So we have inside us to help us to love.
You better
love,
say
like
it.
With the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And yes, it's going to be sacrificial. So any believer, if they're honest with themselves and they ask themselves the question, am I sacrificially living for Christ? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, the reality is many believers would have to say no, because the fact is many people avoid sacrifice and discomfort like the plague.
My Lord.
And so the reality is if we're going to follow Jesus faithfully, we have to be living sacrificially in the way we follow him. So we're looking today at the topic evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. And our in-studio guest, our co-host today is Jade Holyfield. We'll be right back.
Feeling lonely, this world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. Cause all I know.
The music of Toby Mac with I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our co-host today is Jade Holifield. She's on staff with us here at the American Family Association, and it's always a privilege to have her in studio with us. And we're looking at the topic, evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. And, you know, Jade, something I think of that is a simple task, but it's much more profoundly important than many believers realize. You know, just the whole evangelism task of like carrying out gospel tracts. Mm-hmm. I got an email just maybe one or two days ago from someone who was asking for some of our gospel tracts / bookmarks. And, of course, we're glad to send them. You know, she was asking how much they were, and, of course, we give them away. But the reality is, as believers, one of the reasons why, well, it is important for us to learn to habitually carry them with us continually. Mm-hmm. In your pocket, your pocketbook, wherever, though, because the fact is there are opportunities all along our way throughout the day where God will have us cross the paths of people who are not saved, mm-hmm. who don't know Christ, and many of whom you may be the only contact with the gospel they may have in the next year, you know, days, weeks, months, year or so. And the reality is, you know, Jade, I think of this statistic that's so powerful. It says that on average, all over the world, three people die every second, about 180 people every minute, and about 11,000 people every hour. And on average, all over the world, 250,000 people die every 24 hours.
Wow.
That's a lot of dying.
Yes.
And, you know, when they die, it doesn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat, mm-hmm. black,
say
white,
say
Hispanic,
that.
Asian, doesn't matter if they were super rich or if they were homeless. The only thing that matters, did you know Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters.
Wow.
Nothing.
Mm. Wow. I was thinking when you were sharing that, just how, just like I mentioned earlier about the two individuals in my family that passed away, one thing that I pray, I've been praying for my family is anytime there's a death, I want to challenge people to do this. When there's a death in your family or you know someone, ask the Lord, use this to draw people to Christ. Mm-hmm. Use this to open their eyes to realize that tomorrow is not promised.
That's
and he
right.
said that in his word.
Mm, that's so important. You know, I recently shared this account, but I'm going to share it again just as reading. It's a true story of a little boy who was faithful about doing the work of evangelism.
Oh.
And again, and let me say to our listeners too, again, if you want to get some of the gospel tracts that one listener emailed us and asked for some, we're glad to share them with you. But you may decide, well, I don't want those, but I'm going to get my own. Well, great. But carry them with you because there are opportunities throughout your day to be involved in giving out tracts and thus planting seeds in the lives of people, mm-hmm. some of who may go home and pray the prayer on the track and get saved that day.
Amen.
And that's one way to be involved in the work of carrying out the Great Commission. But again, the story simply says this. The little boy put on his clothes for the cold and then told his father, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His dad, the pastor, said, "Ready for what?" "Dad, it's time to go outside and distribute our flyers." Dad replied, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's drizzling. The child looked surprised at his father and said, "But Dad, people need to know about God even on rainy days." Dad replied, "Son, I'm not going outside in this weather." With despair, the child said, "Dad, can I go alone, please?" His father waited for a moment and then said, "Son, you can go. Here's the flyers. Be careful." "Thank you, Dad." And with this, the son went out into the rain. The 11-year-old walked all the streets of the village, handing out the flyers to the people he saw. After 2 hours walking in the rain and in the cold and with his last flyer in his hand, he stopped in a corner to see if he saw someone to give the flyer to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned to the first house he saw, walked to the front door, touched the bell several times and waited, but no one came out. Finally, the boy turned to leave, but something stopped him. The child turned back to the door and began to touch the bell and pound the door strongly with his knuckles. He kept waiting. Finally, the door was opened gently. A lady came out with a very sad look and gently asked, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a bright smile, the child said, "Lady, I'm sorry if I upset you, but I just want to tell you that God really loves you and that I came to give you my last flyer, which talks about God and his great love." The boy then gave her the flyer. She just said, "Thank you, son. God bless you." Well, next Sunday, the pastor was in the pulpit when the service began, and he asked, "Someone has a testimony or something they want to share?" Gently in the back row of the church, an older lady stood up. When she started talking, a radiant and glorious look sprouted from her eyes. "Nobody in this church knows me. I've never been here. Even last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband died a while ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday was a particularly cold and rainy day, and it was also in my heart that on that day, I came to the end of the road since I had no hope and didn't want to live anymore. Then I took a chair and a rope and went up to the attic of my house. I tied one end of the rope to the rafters of the roof. Then I climbed onto the chair and put the other end of the rope around my neck. Then I stood on the chair, so alone and heartbroken. I was about to throw myself off the chair when suddenly I heard the loud sound of the door being knocked. So I thought, I'll wait a minute. Whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the door knocking was getting louder and louder every time. It got so loud that I couldn't ignore it anymore. So I wondered, who could it be? No one ever comes close to my door or come to visit me. I released the rope from my neck and went to the door while the bell was still ringing and the door was still being knocked on. When I opened the door, I couldn't believe what my eyes saw. In front of my door was the most radiant and angelic child I've ever seen. He smiled. Oh, I can never describe the way his smile looked. The words that came out of his mouth made my heart, dead long ago, come back to life when he said with the voice of an angel, "Lady, I just want to tell you that God really loves you." When the little angel disappeared between the cold and the rain, I closed my door and read every word of the flyer. Then I went to the attic to remove the chair and rope. I didn't need them anymore. As you see, now I'm a happy daughter of the King. As the direction of the boy when he left was to his church, I came personally to say thank you to that little angel of God who came just in time, in fact, to rescue my life from an eternity in hell and replaced it with an eternity in God's presence. Everyone cried in the church. The pastor came down from the pulpit to the first bench of the front where the little angel was sitting. He took his son in his arms and cried uncontrollably, "Don't let this message die of cold. You get involved in the work of evangelism and discipleship as well." What a powerful account. Man. A very touching story.
Come on, Holy
and
Ghost.
This is a true story. It's a true story.
Wow.
All of us have a part to play. We're all to live as sacrificial vessels in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We're born to be living a life in cooperation with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because there's so much work to be done. There's so many people out there that desperately need Jesus who've been beat up by life and left on the side of the road for dead.
Yeah.
We need to be carrying the message of Jesus to a world that desperately needs to hear it.
Constantly. I naturally believe when a believer has a heart to be used by the Lord, sacrificial living, that he will use you just like he used that young man. Mm-hmm. I have a huge family. And we're very, very close. Like, my mom is one of 10. And one of my relatives recently, he was sharing with me how he is aiming to, he's addicted to porn, all right? And so he asked me, Well, and before I knew that, anyway, make a long story short, one day I happened to call him just to see how he was doing. And we were chit-chatting, and it was a few days later he told me, "You actually saved me from looking at porn. I'm really trying to not look at it anymore." And I was like, that was nobody but the Lord to have me to call him. My point, what he didn't know is I had started back inquiring of the Lord. Lord, use me for your glory. Father, show me areas and how to be a blessing to others and lead them, point them to Christ. So to make a long story short, now he downloaded this app and used me as his accountability person. Mm-hmm. It's an app that will try to help you with the porn addiction. But my point is being an open vessel to be used for the Lord. It's going to inquire like, yeah, I got life happening in my own life as well. Everybody's having life, but let's not be so selfish that we neglect to help others. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's such a great example, Jade. You know, that's one more reason why we're all wise to pray the prayer Jabez every day. Pray the prayer of Isaiah every day. You know, of course, the prayer of Jabez is, "Lord, bless me indeed, expand my territory, place your hand anew upon me, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain." One of the reasons why it's so wise to pray it every day is because every day you pray it, God will answer it. God is looking for believers that want
works.
To be used. It does. It does.
It was many years ago, Pastor Parker, maybe about 6 or 7, you blessed me with a copy of that book. And I began reading it, and I applied it, and I kid you not, literally every day, it wasn't like I was getting blessed. I was getting blessed, but also God was putting me in positions to be a blessing to others.
That's right.
What I love about the book. Some people think that it's a book just about you getting stuff, bless me indeed. No, I love how Bruce Wilkinson, the author, says that it is a book that's you're telling God, "Lord, I want all that you have in your will in my life. I want it manifested." And I recently started back picking up that book, and I am just, it's powerful.
And you know what's great about that too, Jade, is to think that, of course, the prayer of Jabez, of course, comes from Scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Short, very short prayer. But it's a great tool, a prayer tool, to help you become more fruitful in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
God has so much work to be done every day, but He needs children who will listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the whole idea of carrying out gospel tracts and just listening to the Lord about who to give them to, that's an important thing for us to be doing. But also, just like in your case, when you call that person, probably directly being responding to the Holy Spirit, who prompted you to call at that point in time. Well, the Holy Spirit has thousands of opportunities like that with believers who will listen and who will obey. You know, and I think it's good to be mindful of this, that, you know, the telephone is a wonderful tool for evangelism and discipleship as well.
Right.
You know, people think of it as, well, this is who I talk. I talk to my family and friends with it. Right. But it's a wonderful tool for evangelism. You know, just like, say, for example, if a believer decided, I'm going to have a goal of discipling at least 3 people by phone every evening. Call them up. Ask, how can I pray for you? Encourage them in their prayer life. Encourage them in their reading of Scripture.
Right.
In some cases, say, hey, would you consider reading for me? You know, having them to read out loud for you. All of those are tools and ways to help people, because some people, not only are they open to it, they're really longing for somebody to help and encourage them in the sphere of their life. So, you know, giving out gospel tracts is one of many things we can do. Calling people up and reading Scripture with them, praying with them, inviting them to receive Christ, encouraging them in their prayer life, praying for them in their prayer life, praying for the struggles they're going through. All of these are ways that we all can be involved in the Great Commission every single day.
People want to be loved. They want to feel loved. And I'm going to tell you, even the person that may tell you, "I don't need nobody," that acts off all hard, they're the ones that need to be loved the most, because that is such a front. God created us to be loved, but I'm going to tell you, there's nothing, nobody can love you as much as Christ will love you. Mm-hmm. No husband, no wife, none of your children. Pastor Mark, you said that to me recently. You know, no one can love you as much as Christ loves you, and that's what people need. That's the point of making disciples, sharing the evangelizing, sharing the gospel. You're pointing them to the only being that will love them unconditionally. And I truly believe that.
That's so important. And you know, a whole other thing that we as believers can do is pray much for evangelism and discipleship ministries that are out there, and also give financially to support the work. There are many nations that many of us will never get to ourselves, but those are nations where There are ministries that are working that need the financial support of mm-hmm. believers and need the prayers of believers to do the work they're doing in India, in China, in North Korea, in places, difficult places or just faraway places. Right. And the fact is, that's one way where we can increase our reach by simply supporting the work of ministries that are in those places and going to those places with mm-hmm. our prayers and our finances as well.
I agree. Totally.
And all of those are important things for us to be mindful of. That's a part of seeking first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. You know, the sad reality is for many people, again, they spend their time, their energy, and their money on themselves and their loved ones, and they fail to realize all of us, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of us have the responsibility to sacrificially live for Jesus every single day.
Amen. Every day.
It's not just from time to time or when I have time left over or when I'm bored or something. It's to be a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me.
That's
those
right.
verses are real. Colossians 3:1, another favorite. For I am dead. My life is hid in Christ with God.
That's right.
So when you... That's the true Christianity. Like you said earlier, you know, people, we have these celebrity pastors now that aren't even teaching the Bible. They're totally misconstruing scripture, which is so sad because scripture is so holy. But we have to come to grips of that there is actually living in purpose when you live sacrificially for Christ.
That's right. We'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio co-host today is Jade Holofield, and we're looking at the topic evangelism and discipleship. Living out the Great Commission. We'll be right back. B.B. and C.C. Winans, Lost Without You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My guest co-host today is Jade Holofield, and we're looking at the topic evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great Commission. And Jade, I'm going to ask as we begin this last segment, if you'll pray for the church to grow in their understanding of the high priority of us living a lifestyle of being involved in the work of both being a disciple and making disciples.
Absolutely. Father God, we just thank you so much for the Hour of Intercession, Pastor Parker, and Brother Rick, Lord, the work that you are doing through this program, God. And Lord, we just lift up before you the church, Lord, your bride. Oh my goodness, Lord, we are so blessed, those of us who are children of yours, to be a part of the body of Christ. And God, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would put it on the hearts of pastors and elders and deacons, Lord, to encourage their fellow flock flock, their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would give us all, including myself, Lord, your passion, the passion that you have for the lost. Put that passion within us, Lord. Grow it, stir it, Lord, to where it brings us into action, into going, into sharing the gospel, Lord. Help us to not think about, oh, I'm nervous, I don't know what to say. Help us, Lord. I love in your scripture where Jesus told the disciples, don't worry about what to say and how to say it. The Holy Spirit will help you. Lord, I ask that you would help us to lean upon the Holy Ghost, Lord, our comforter, the one who will lead and guide us in all truth, Lord, concerning going ye and sharing the gospel and making disciples. Lord, help us to get out of ourselves. Help us to not be selfish anymore, but to live sacrificially, God. I ask that you would give us that desire, Lord. Please, we need it, Lord. We say that we love you. Jesus, you said that if we say that we love you, we will obey your commands. And Lord, I ask that you will grow our love for you so much more that we would desire to live out your word in every aspect of our lives, God. Let it start at home, Lord, and move out into the streets. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, God. And anyone that's listening right now, Lord, I thank you that you said there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we have slacked in sharing the gospel, help us to dust ourselves off and get started today.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jade. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse starting at verse 31, it tells us, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Verses 31 to 34. Father, thank you again for the opportunity you give us as the church to be involved in the wonderful and the mighty work of evangelism and discipleship. Stir us, Lord, to be faithful disciples, and stir us to be faithful in making disciples every single day. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the time is so short, that you're coming back soon, and at the same time, people are dying at a huge rate every single day. And Lord, help us to recognize it's so serious for us to be about the work you've called us to be about our Father's business of doing the work of evangelism and discipleship. Because again, knowing Jesus is the most critical issue in all of life. Help us to take that serious and help us to know, Lord, that every believer is a vessel through which you can do mighty things as we simply live a life of being available and submissive to your word and your will and your spirit. Mm-hmm. Help us to live that way every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Again, we have in studio with us Jade Holifield, and we're looking at the topic of evangelism and discipleship, living out the Great mm-hmm. Commission. And, you know, Jade, again, a key word for us to be mindful of is sacrificial, mm-hmm. living sacrificially for Christ. And, you know, it's so important to understand that every day is important.
Right.
Because on a given day, we will cross paths with some people who we will never cross paths with again. And for many of those people, as believers, we may be the only saved person who is even open to sharing the gospel with them.
I'm telling you.
Because sadly, you have many believers who, out of immaturity, that's not on their minds.
Yeah.
That's not an issue for them. And then obviously, unsaved people don't try to get unsaved people saved too.
Right.
So we must be about our Father's business.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've met some believers, and this is no shade, as some people use that term now. Well, you know, they're believers, but they're nervous, or they are embarrassed to share their faith. And that right there, oh, that's pride. That's pride. Mm-hmm. And that's when I would say you really need to aim to learn to study the scriptures more and fall in love with Christ more, because mm-hmm. when you do that, it's going to be like second nature. And another thing I was thinking about also was, you know, when you think about those whom you know, because we all know somebody or cross paths with someone, like you mentioned, who's not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my aunts passed away, you know, back to back. One of them I was really, really close with. She was like my second mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with a godly mother. So she was just, her and my mom are really close. They were best friends. And of course, we cried, you know, but I kid you not, like even this morning, my mom and I were joking about, I was talking to my mom about my Aunt Marie, and we didn't cry or any, like we still talked. talk about her. Mm-hmm. And my point is, because my mom and I are saved, we know where she's going. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say, if you know someone that's not saved, that you are like, I want to see them in heaven, that should be motivation for you to get on your knees and pray, that's as right. well as sharing the gospel for others. Because my mom and I can confidently talk about Aunt Marie because we know we're going to see her again. We just be joking about her even to this day, and she's mm-hmm. in heaven. So I really believe that believers, it takes, like I mentioned earlier, the work of the Holy Spirit to stir in your heart to be about his business. And I think having an accountability partner helps too. My husband, there are times, babe, you got some gospel tracks? Mm-hmm. Same thing, vice versa. I'm getting back into that. He actually, between you and him, like Lamar always keeps tracks in both of our vehicles all the time. And he literally passes them out. He'll even put them on the windshield. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my husband is one of those people. I know some people don't like stuff on their windshields, but hey, he's sharing the gospel, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's those things like that, having other people in your circle that's reminding you and cultivating that desire to share the gospel in various ways.
You know, you make so many good points to consider, Jade. You know, I think of this, that, again, we need to be a disciple in order to make disciples, because a disciple, the word disciple, of course, is related to the word discipline. You're disciplined about living a life submissive Ooh. To Christ. Mm-hmm. The three letters of the word pro remind us of basically the sum total of what the life of a disciple is. P refers to a vibrant prayer life. R refers to a life of reading and meditating on Scripture. O relates to a life of obedience. Well, again, you can summarize the life of a disciple that way. It's critical that we have a vibrant prayer life, because that's how we stay close to the Lord and on fire for the Lord. And part of it is also staying in the Word of God. You know, if a believer doesn't pray and read the Word of God, their desire to follow God, to serve God again, can get so diminished. So, again, our Christian life is like a fire. In fact, the Holy Spirit is a fire inside of us.
He shows.
But how big he burns is directly related to how faithful we are.
Yeah.
How big he burns inside of us is directly related to how faithfully we follow him.
Come on, Pastor Parker.
And so for some believers, the Holy Spirit's there, but he's like a little candle flame. Not much.
Right.
But on the other hand, when we're following the Lord faithfully, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, and obedient, we do what we're called to do, he can be a bonfire inside of us, burning brightly. And that's the way you want to live, for the Holy Spirit to be a bonfire inside of us.
Man. Come on, Pastor. I'm over here trying to contain myself, because and to think that there are people who think that living for Christ, that it's just so mundane, and that there's no, when you just brought up about the Holy Spirit in Acts. The power, it meant dunamis, dynamite, the Greek word of that, dynamite. So, yeah, when we cultivate that prayer life, I love Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, if I may.
Yes.
Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote in the Greek means to be courageously persistent in prayer. I'm going to tell you, we're not saying that you're going to feel like praying all the time. No, you live in this fallen world. You live in this flesh. There are distractions. Mm-hmm. But I am saying you are going to have to be disciplined and forcing your body to pray continuously, and to push yourself to go to share Christ with somebody. Get
That's
out
right.
of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I love that the more you pray, he is going to burn more.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to help motivate you, and to help you have to be disciplined in being committed to praying and seeking after things of the Lord.
We literally want to be believers who are consumed in the fire of the Holy Spirit, because that's how we can be effective and used mightily of the Lord. And the Bible speaks of quenching the Holy Spirit. When we disobey God, we quench the Holy Spirit. It's like throwing water on the flame of the Spirit. He's there, but he's been quenched. But see, if the more obedient we are, the more we give ourselves to prayer, the more we give ourselves to reading the Word and living the Word again, that just stirs the fire. It stokes the fire, and it gets bigger and bigger.
Come on. It'll make you, man, I was thinking of a lady I know. She's an older lady. And there was a period of time in her marriage, they've been married almost 40 years, where her husband stepped out on her, had another child by another woman. Her and her husband already had three kids together. And he had another child by another woman. And the lady I'm thinking of, she stayed in that marriage. Now, when you ask her why, she'll say because of her children. But now that she's older, she shared with me how it taught her how to love sacrificially. It taught her. My point is, this is a praying woman. That's the point I'm trying to make. She's a praying woman. She spends time in God's word. The more you love Christ, you'll find yourself doing things where back in the day, you'd be like, ain't no way in the world I'll do that or put up with that. But you'll find yourself, because there's so many things that Christ put up with. Oh my goodness. But he did it because he loved us. He is the ultimate example. So for people who say, well, I'm not Jesus. No, but you're supposed to strive to be like him.
That's
he's
right.
our example.
That's right.
Don't use that as an excuse.
We're to imitate Christ. That's
in
right.
every aspect of our life. And it's possible by the help of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what nobody say.
That's true. That's true. Our time is just about gone, but
no!
as we always great to have you, Jade, with us. But as we finish the broadcast, though, as we usually do, if you're listening today and you know you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, remember this: in order to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, you have to know Jesus. You need to have him living on the inside of you. You need him to be your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me in order to ask Christ to come into your heart to become the Lord and Savior of your life? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much. But you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins, all the wrong things I did. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my life for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer, we very much would like to be in touch with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. So please do email us. We look forward to hearing from you. Or if you would like to get copies of any of the articles that we share on some of the broadcasts, we're glad to share those as well as other prayer tools and resources we provide as well. Jade, thanks so much for being with us once again.
Thank you. I've always enjoyed it.
Always a privilege to have with us Jade Holifield, who is a fellow staff member here at the American Family Association. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.